His check on stories we're following for you on Robin Hood Radio. It's not a fluke. Governor Lamont says COVID-19 infection rates in Connecticut are now above 6%, and he's considering rolling back reopening measures. In a story in the Republican American, the resurging COVID-19 outbreak has the governor thinking of rolling back Connecticut's reopening after a daily positive test rate of 6.1% was reported on Thursday. For the time being, Lamont said he's deferring to local decision-making rather than taking statewide action, but he also indicated that could change soon if community spread keeps trending up. Another 11 cities and towns on Thursday were placed on the highest COVID-19 alert status that allows municipalities to revert to stricter coronavirus-related mandates that applied before October 8th. In all, there are now 30 or so called red alert communities that have averaged 15 daily COVID-19 cases per 100,000 population over a two-week period. Lamont announced yesterday he's also extending discretion to roll back the October 8th reopening rules to chief executives of cities and towns that have been placed on the second highest alert status for averaging 10 to 14 daily cases per 100,000 population. Meanwhile, in Columbia County, on Thursday morning, Columbia County Department of Health director reported 9 new cases of COVID-19 in the county, bringing to 256 the number of individuals that were under mandatory quarantine as a result of active cases. 21 Columbia County residents are currently hospitalized, 2 receiving treatments in the ICU. Quoting here, "I would like to remind business owners that they were allowed to reopen earlier in the year under certain guidelines established by the governor," end quote. That came from County Chairman Mac Murrell. Quoting again, "Those guidelines which remain in place include enforcing the wearing of masks and maintaining social distance in their establishment. None of us want to see a business or businesses shut down should COVID-19 strike their business and force a 14-day shutdown." Less than a week before Election Day, the town of Red Hook's District 5 voters didn't have a polling place site set. Well, as it turns out, they'll have their choice of two after weeks of legal arguments back and forth, which followed years of dispute regarding the Bard College campus. Dutchess County's Board of Election Commissioners say they've agreed to make the Episcopal Church of St. John the Evangelist its designating polling site, as originally planned, but also make Bard's Bertelsmann Campus Center an alternate polling site for the district. Out of Great Barrington, residents might have to wait up to 2 years for a temporary bridge that would reopen a critical road after it was shut last year when the state deemed the Division Street Bridge unsafe. Town officials learned this week that the bridge is in worse shape than state inspectors originally thought, and that COVID-19 is delaying the release of state funds that would pay for an emergency fix, a faster solution than the full-fledged replacement, now estimated at 10 to 15 years out. The town owns span over the Housatonic River links Route 183 and 41, and the extent of deterioration is such that the temporary project would be more expensive than anticipated, approaching $3 million. In a story out of the Lakeville Journal, on October 23rd, movie theaters across the state came back to life with 25% capacity or up to 50 people. The movie house in Millerton, though, however, will not be opening with them. The independent theater decided not to reopen. Movie house owner and co-founder Carol Sadlin said she's taking the reopening process slowly. The movie house is continuing to operate virtually, as it's been doing all along during the pandemic. Santa's North Pole South at the Northeast Millerton Library Annex. The Adopt-A-Family program has a few changes for this holiday season coming up. With a different kind of help from the community, even a worldwide pandemic won't keep the elves of the Adopt-A-Family program, ensuring that every child in Northeast, Weebatuck, and Pine Plains Central School Districts 13 years of age and under a happy holiday. According to Stacy Moore, this year, instead of families shopping at the annex for toys, she will meet them on the front step of her print shop, More and More Printing, at 17 Dutchess Avenue in Millerton, to give them their gift cards, which may be used at several local stores. Quoting here, "It's the best we can do. We're not feeling comfortable to do the toys in a contained space of the annex with the constant touching of them. It's just not safe." After the iconic local store Saperstein's closed, which offered warm winter clothing to the program for deeply discounted prices, families instead received $100 in gift cards to buy clothes elsewhere, but this year Moore said she anticipates that amount will be increased to $150. A reminder, North Canaan is once again going to light up the streets in North Canaan, the sponsor a tree program. If you live or are a business owner along Main Streets in North Canaan and would like to light up the town with a tree, complete a form that is put out by the Chamber of Commerce by November 13th. They'll supply a timer for the tree. They'll be putting the trees up on Monday, November 16th, and they'll be taken down early in January. For more information, contact John Lannert at 860-248-1345. Stockbridge Library today at 5 o'clock presents the 10th Annual Pumpkin Walkabout. Sharon Daycare Virtual Silent Auction will wrap up today. This is your last day to email your bids in, and you can email them to sharondaycare@hotmail.com. If you're a successful bidder, you'll be contacted the week of November 2nd if you had a winning bid. The Pine Plains Evergreen Cemetery Lantern Tour 2020 is being presented by the Pine Plains Free Library and the Little Nine Partners Historical Society today. More information at 518-398-1927 or pineplainslibrary.org. Housatonic Valley FFA is hosting Farmers to Families Food Box distribution, where each box contains fresh produce, milk, and meat. On Saturday from 9 till 12 at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, all community members are invited to this free USDA-sponsored food distribution event. Masks and social distancing are required. Berkshire Box Society on Saturday at 3 o'clock presents James Bagwell, choral conductor, Renee Ann Luprette, organ, and George Stauffer, a Bach scholar, on Bach Moets. It'll be at the Meeting House on Main Street in Housatonic, Massachusetts. A COVID-safe haunted Halloween parade will take place throughout the hamlet of Wasaic on Saturday from 5:30 till 6:30. Courtesy of the Wasaic Project and the Wasaic Fire Company, there will be floats, fun, and candy. They only want people from Wasaic there. Please don't come if you're from out of town. More information, wasaicproject.org. Once again, due to popular demand, the Sharon Audubon has added a second glowing evening of the Pumpkin Trail at the Sharon Audubon Center tomorrow from 7 to 8:30. You can enjoy the glowing Pumpkin Trail. It remains open daily from dawn until dusk each day through November 7th. The American Legion Post 178 in Millerton is restarting its pancake breakfast on Sunday. The breakfast will consist of pancakes, home fries, scrambled eggs, sausage, and bacon. $7. It'll be takeout only due to COVID-19. The Legion will serve from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. and begin taking orders by phone at 7:30 in the morning. Call 518-789-4755. The Legion Hall is on Route 44 in Millerton. The Sharon Fire Department and Ambulance Squad invites the community to help light up the Sharon Town Green. Purchasing luminaries. Purchases of Lights of Love will help Sharon Ambulance Squad raise funds for a new ambulance. Luminaries will be sold for $10 each. All orders must be placed by November 1st. Contact any member of the Sharon Ambulance Squad for more information. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgan's at the Interlaken, interlakenin.com, and on Facebook. And by Salisbury Bank, salisburybank.com. Dow Jones Industrial Average starts off the day at 26,659.11, the NASDAQ at 11,185.59, and the S&P 500 at 3,310.11. We'll take a look at the tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.